Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. As always, I would like to thank all of you who help each Lord's Day teaching. Thank our worship team, elders taking part in the service, those who care for our buildings. It takes a body of Christ here, and grateful for each and every one of you. But hear God's word, Romans chapter 8, and we are going to begin reading with verse 35. It's on page 945 of our pew Bibles. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31, but focusing on verse 37. Hear the word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of your word, the unfailing, unchanging truth of your word. We thank you that you comfort us with your word. You instruct us. At times you convict us of sin. Call us to a closer walk of faith with Christ. And Lord, pray, even today, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts and lives, that we would be sinking deeper roots into Christ, and that we would be bearing gospel fruit for our good and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we go back into the history books, we can discover a host of significant conquests by surprise strategies. You know, think of the decisive military defeat of the German army on the coast of France by the Allied forces on the D-Day invasion in World War II. Going back a little bit further, you might discover the account of Ethan Allen and his Green Mountain men who captured what was then the military stronghold of Fort Ticonderoga from the British during the American Revolutionary War, and that was on May 10th, 1775, moving to the wide world of sports. You might have read about the 1980 USA men's Olympic hockey team, who won a decisive and dramatic and surprise victory over the heavily favored Russian hockey team, 4-3 on February 22nd, 1980, here in U.S., Lake Placid, New York. Actually, they had to win another game to win the gold medal. They went on to beat Finland on February 24th, 1980. A close score, 4-2. But, you know, thinking about these dramatic, decisive, even surprise victories, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 37, again, page 945 of your pew Bibles. You know, this verse speaks of a more decisive, a more dramatic victory than any military victory, any political or sports victory. Now, to begin to put this in context, we're almost at the end of Romans 8. The Apostle Paul continues to build towards a beautiful and bold gospel conclusion, as we'll see in the closing verses next Sunday. You know, as we've slowly worked our way through Romans 8 and looked at my records, we started it September the 27th of 2020. We've heard the clear scriptural teaching on gospel assurance, assurance of our salvation, gospel hope that comes through faith in Christ. Listen again to Romans 8, verse 37, a verse well worth memorizing, meditating upon. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Now, here we'll see in Romans 8, verse 37, that the certainty of Christ's conquering love assures us of an abiding gospel hope. And how does Christ's conquering love give us that assurance and hope? Just two truths, a little bit longer though this morning. The certainty first of Christ's conquest, but then the cross and the conquest. Let's begin with the certainty of Christ's conquering love. That first part of verse 37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Just that first word, no, should be an exclamation point behind it. It's a word that is used for a strong adversative. It's a word used to grab our attention as readers and hearers of the Word of God. You know, part of it goes back to verse 36. Remember verse 36? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. You know, at that point, maybe some of God's people were thinking, well, man, it's going to get worse. We're going to be in a greater, deeper struggle with sin. And immediately God's word says, no, we are more than conquerors. You know, we're starting the fourth quarter of this formidable struggle of faith, but the outcome of the spiritual struggle is sure. You know, Christ has indeed conquered. That first word, no, in all these things. And for those of you who like language, you might be saying, well, what are these things? What is God's word referring to? We'll go back first there to verse 31 of Romans 8, what then shall we say to these things? And what are these things in verse 31? He's going back to Romans 8, 29 and following, that golden chain of salvation. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. So when we have that phrase here, and all these things, we're thinking of this golden chain of salvation. But we're also thinking of the more immediate things. Verse 35, and all these things. Remember verse 35. You know that question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall these things, shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And here God's word says, no, in all these things, you know, even as you're in the midst of this deep and difficult struggle, we, again that plural pronoun, we are more than conquerors. We're going to stop just for a minute or two and focus on that phrase, more than conquerors. It's one word in the original. You know, three words here in our ESV version. But note, it's a present reality. We are. It's not we were or we will be. Right now, we are more than conquerors. It's God's promise to his beloved church. You know, it's a compound word. You know, it's a word, I'll give you the Greek, but I've lost my little Greek I remember from seminary, still have to work at it. But the word is hypernikomen. You know, hyper, you know, we still can understand what that means. Nike is the word from which we get the word victory. We are hyper conquerors. We are super conquerors through him who loved us. R.C. Sproul calls that little prefix hyper an emphatic and an intensive prefix. You know, we're more, we're abundant conquerors in Christ. That word victory, you know, we could say we are super conquerors. I know I'm out of touch here, but our children and our youth, you know, superheroes. You know, ask your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know, who are the superheroes? Well, you know, here, that's what teaching us here. Christ is that super conqueror. Greater than any other conqueror. You know, and in Christ, we are more than conquerors. You know, God girds us with his gospel armor, sends us out into life's battle as conquerors in Christ. We are more than conquerors. You know, again, the Latin, maybe it'll help, maybe it'll not help, but the Latin word is supervincimus. You know, again, super conquerors, victors in Christ. We are supremely victorious. You know, it's not, well, we barely won. We won by the skin of our teeth. You know, we in Christ, we are abundantly conquerors. You know, in his brief and beautiful book, some of the men have been studying it. The title of the book is The Bruised Reed by Richard Sibbes. He opens the last chapter with this title, Through Conflict to Victory. And he begins that chapter with this sentence, the text, you know, Isaiah 42, verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. The text also implies that the prevailing of Christ's government will not be without fighting. There can be no victory where there is no combat. You know, and we're in combat. You know, not just with the government, economy, weather, spiritual combat. But here God's word assures us we are more than conquerors in Christ. To put the rubber of Scripture to the road, there are seven battlegrounds, at least seven battlegrounds, and I hope you'll find more in your own study, seven battlegrounds in Romans 8 where we witness Christ's conquering love. We could probably do all of the book of Romans, but hang on, we're going to move through these quickly. You know, the first area is Christ's conquest of sin's condemnation. Conquest of sin's condemnation. Romans 8, verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. You know, on the cross, Jesus bore God's holy wrath against sin, you know, for us. You know, Jesus Christ was the condemned one. One Bible scholar, Douglas Moo, put it this way: the condemnation that our sins deserve has been poured out on Christ, our sin bearer. So that's the first area, Christ's conquest of sin's condemnation. Secondly, Christ's conquest of death. Romans 8 verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You know, Christ conquered death. You know, Christ rose again from the grave, the first fruits. The assurance of our resurrection. The indwelling Holy Spirit will also give life to our mortal bodies. Sin, death, the third area is in the area of adoption. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Because of Christ's conquest of sin and death in the grave, we're no longer slaves to sin. John Stott reminds us we're sons and daughters, not slaves. You know, as God's beloved and blood-bought children, you know, we can cry out to him in faith, Abba, Father. Christ's conquest over sin, death. Christ's conquest in our adoption. Christ's conquest in the fall. In verse 21, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You know, our mighty God will mercifully free his fallen world from its sinful corruption after the fall of Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden. We'll enjoy glorious liberty in Christ. William Lenski put it this way, great was the destruction, greater is grace and the restoration. It'll give you a foretaste. You know, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and it gets better as you go on. You know, Christ's conquest over sin, death, adoption, over the fall, Christ's conquest in our redemption, verse 23 of Romans 8. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. You know, Christ's conquest in our redemption body. Here, Scripture points us to the full assurance of our adoption in Christ. We joyfully anticipate the redemption of our bodies. Perfect bodies, new bodies, immortal bodies. Bodies like the body of Christ after the resurrection. No more pain, no more sorrow. No more aging, no more death, no more crying. We will be forever with the Lord, singing his praises and worshiping Christ. You know, that we can know that conquest even now. It's not pie in the sky theology here. You know, this is God's promise to us. Sixth, salvation. Again, Romans 8, 29 and 30, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. You know, that golden chain of salvation, each step of the way, God graciously displays the conquering power of the Lord Jesus Christ, bears witness to Christ's conquering love and our abiding hope. But finally, you know, Christ's conquest over Satan himself. You know, brothers and sisters, we're in a spiritual struggle today. You know, I know sometimes we think, well, if we got our politics right, we got our economy right, weather right, you know, then we'd be fine. No, we're in a spiritual battle. You know, but here God's word reminds us that Christ has conquered Satan himself. He is a defeated foe. Satan ever seeks to accuse us of sin. He desires to declare us guilty before our holy God. You know, but nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Satan is that condemner we read about in verse 34. You know, Satan tries to trip us up with alluring temptations and crushing trials. You know, but as battle-wearied and discouraged believers, and, you know, it's these days are a challenge for all of us, for us as a church, for Christians around the world. May we remember and rest in the certainty of Christ conquering love. Remember that verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You know, hear this from Dr. Boyce. The goal of our warfare is the glory of God, and that is an infinitely worthy and utterly superior thing. You know what? Christ has conquered, and we are in this battle by the grace of Christ and for the glory of God. And the outcome is certain. It won't take the time, but just to hopefully whet your appetites, one of the best ways to study Scripture is using what's called the analogy of faith. In other words, Scripture interprets Scripture. That's always helpful. You're looking at the New Testament. Go back to the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament. There's a great account in Isaiah chapter 37. You know, the situation is this. I'll just give you a quick summary and read a verse. God's people are under attack from a great foe by Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And Israel is fearful that they are going to get wiped out. And Hezekiah, the king, takes a letter from Sennacherib, goes into God's house, spreads it out before the Lord. And what's the first thing he does? He prays. And the prayer goes like this. Isaiah 37, verse 20. Simple prayer. So now, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are the Lord. And you read the rest of the story, go to the end of Isaiah 37, God answered that prayer. You know, God struck down the enemy, 185,000, in one fell swoop, and even brought about the demise as well of Sennacherib. You know, by his own family, shamed. You know, there's great gospel comfort for Christians who know the certainty of Christ's conquering love. Comfort in Christ's conquest of sin, death, in our adoption. You know, great comfort in the cross. And that's the second part. And do this in our time allotted. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Why? Through him who loved us. You know, it's important here to give you a caution. There are many people who say things, yeah, we're more than conquerors. You know, like it's, you know, they're safe against kryptonite. That's their shield. And we are more than conquerors. Some Christians as well say, well, I can do all things. And they forget the last part of the verse, through Christ who strengthens me. We're more than conquerors. Why? Through him. Whether we translate this God the Father or God the Son, but through him. I think the focus is on Christ, through him who loved us. You know, the love of Christ. You know, three things here about the love of Christ. You know, first, it's a true love. You know, Christ loves us in word and deed. He declares his love for us. God declares his love for us. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 4. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Now verse 4. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. You know, God loves us with a total love. It's not a half-hearted love. It's not a lukewarm love. It's not an if love. God loves us with a true love. Secondly, it's a total love. A little overlap between all three here. How do we know it's a total love? You know, Christ showed his love for us in laying down his life and love for us at the cross. There is no greater love than Christ's love for us. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Ligon Duncan put it this way in his sermon on Romans 8, verse 37. Through Christ's love, as exercised and exhibited in the cross, you are more than conquerors. And then it goes on to say, Paul wants believers to be characterized by confidence in the certainty of God's love in the gospel. It's a true love. It's a total love. Finally, it's a triumphant love. You know, God, you know, he is preparing us for, I'll call it the 21-gun salute of Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. You know, don't miss next Sunday. Pray for me as I prepare. But the cross and Christ's conquering love. I'm not going to sing it yet, but our last hymn this morning is Victory in Jesus. No, this hymn is not in our Trinity hymnal. It should be, but it's not. May have told this account of this gospel song before. It was written by a Christian named E.M. Bartlett. And E.M. Bartlett was a prolific hymn writer, wrote over 800 hymns, strong supporter of Christian music. In 1939, 2 years before his death, Mr. Bartlett suffered a stroke, bedridden, paralyzed. And Victory in Jesus, our closing hymn, is the last hymn he wrote. You know, during this time, even when he was bedridden in pain, he faithfully studied his Bible, you know, composed this hymn, and really it's a hymn, probably the only hymn that we associate with E.M. Bartlett. Just to give you an illustration, two of his other hymns, If Men Go to Hell, Who Cares? That's not in our Trinity hymnal either. One other hymn, I like the title, I Heard My Mother Call My Name in Prayer. You know, why is this an enduring gospel song? He wrote about the atoning blood of Jesus, the need for repentance, the miracles of Christ, our glorious hope of heaven. You know, and hear that chorus that we'll sing. Hopefully you'll sing this on the way home. O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. Beneath the cleansing flood. You know, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, it's only the love of Christ that causes us to conquer. You know, our victory comes through faith in Jesus. If you're struggling, you're hurting, feeling defeated, turn to Christ. Trust in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, you are indeed the God of our salvation, and thank you for the victorious love of Christ. Thank you that in Christ we are indeed more than conquerors, because Christ was that conquering one. And Father God, we pray that we would go forth today and in each day of this week ahead, Father, with this gospel truth on our mind and in our hearts, we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ who loved us. May that give us hope and joy and strength and peace. By the power of your Holy Spirit and for the glory of your name, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.